Now let's go back to CBS News and live coverage of the tragic shooting in Newtown, Connecticut.
Yes, and looked into parents' eyes and said, I didn't do it.
How was he dressed?
Camo pants with a dark jacket.
And there you see one of the witnesses describing what he saw there. Let's return now to Bob Orr, who has been speaking with authorities about this. And Bob, what are you learning?
Well, I think one of the things we're trying to figure out, Nora, is why. You know, it's always the most perplexing question when you're confronted with something like this. It certainly was the question of the day in Aurora and in other mass shootings of Virginia Tech and a few others that we've covered over the years. And one of the first things that law enforcement tries to answer in this day and age after 9/11 is, was this some kind of terrorist event? We have one source right now saying it doesn't appear to be a terrorist event, and I would say just my gut feeling is, and looking at the way this has played out, it's not likely to be that. But it's almost a distinction without a difference, because whatever this was, whatever the reason was for this domestic shooting, certainly this was somebody who was intent on inflicting damage, inflicting great pain on this community. So whether you want to label it terrorism or a crime, it almost doesn't make any difference. But it is something, just to be clear, that federal officials have to understand, because if there's something greater at play here, we need to know that, and we need to know that very early. It looks, as we've said, preliminarily, and I have to underline and capitalize preliminarily, this looks like some kind of domestic dispute that evolved into some kind of violence. But I would put a caveat on that, only to say that it's unusual, in my mind at least, that a domestic dispute can devolve into something as awful as this, because you don't go to an argument armed with a couple of semi-automatic handguns and multiple rounds of ammunition. Whoever went there, it seems, went there to inflict great damage, and unfortunately has taken a very, very awful toll. At least 26 dead, perhaps 27, and we believe 18 of them to be children. But it's early in this investigation. The scene really hasn't even been completely cleared, in the sense of there's still plenty of work for the evidence teams, the forensic teams, even the first responders and the SWAT teams are not finished there. So they can't yet move full mode into the investigative phase, because we're still now in what I call the processing phase. And this is a very painful time for first responders, for police officials, and for the parents, obviously, and the families who are trying to understand this. And some great care will be taken through the next several hours to try to answer their questions first. They'll try to give us some answers after that.
All right, Bob Orr, thank you for that. And we should point out that police were first called at about 9:40 this morning to Sandy Hook Elementary School to let them know that something was going on. Of course, the president was informed shortly thereafter. We want to go now to Major Garrett at the White House. And Major, tell us what White House officials are telling you.
I'll give you the latest information that we have here, Nora. Jay Carney, the White House briefing is still going on. Just informed reporters, in response to a question I put to him about 10 minutes ago before getting out here to the North Lawn, who had the president been in contact with? He's been in contact with the FBI Director Robert Mueller and Connecticut's Governor Dan Malloy to talk to him about this episode. Now, at 10:30 this morning in the Oval Office, the president received his first notification about the magnitude of this tragedy from his counterterrorism advisor here in the White House, John Brennan. I asked Jay Carney at the briefing just a few moments ago if in that exchange or anything subsequent to that, Mr. Brennan was able to tell the president whether this was or was not an act of domestic or any other kind of terrorism. The White House is not prepared to offer an opinion on that, because it is, as everyone is, Connecticut law enforcement, local law enforcement, and federal law enforcement trying to sift through all the evidence here. The White House also gives us an indication that at some point today the president will address this, quite possibly in public. We don't have a schedule for that yet, but every indication Nora have here at the White House is the president absorbing all the details of this enormous tragedy of horrific magnitude, and will probably offer his assessment of it to the public in the coming hours. Nora?
All right, Major Garrett there from the White House about the president informed at 10:44 by John Brennan, and we could hear from the president later today. Major, thank you very much. We want to go now to what we're hearing from one of the parents at the school. Let's listen in.
My son was in the gym when it happened, so I think that they heard the gunshots, and so it's they're both. I think it's gonna be one of those things where they're trying to understand what happened, and when we tell them ultimately what happened in details, I think it's gonna make it much worse. So
you can imagine how many parents from that school and the surrounding area are feeling at this hour, knowing that 18 children, ages 5 to 10 years old, are dead after this gunman began this assault this morning at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Let's return now to John Miller, who has been speaking with his sources. And John, what are you learning?
Well, we're learning they're trying to bring this picture together with the dead person on the scene, who they believe was one of the shooters here, and this other individual in custody. We don't know a whole lot about this other individual in custody. We had heard reports of an individual, these are from witnesses, who said in a wooded area outside the school, an individual, you know, was brought out of the woods in handcuffs. We just heard one of the witnesses on the air telling us, you know, a man who said, "I didn't do it." Who was dressed in a black shirt with camouflage pants. One of the reasons he may be in custody is because as they were doing a perimeter search looking for additional gunmen, they found a guy in the woods in camouflage pants. I mean, that enough right there is enough to get you handcuffed and looked at till they figure out what were you doing there, does your story check out. But we are told that they are still treating this as if they have two suspects, one dead, one alive. We have a preliminary name on one of those individuals. I think we're going to hang on to that for now, because the police operations in terms of getting to these locations and these residences and talking to these people is still ongoing, and from my experience having been on the other side of that, I'm sure that's something that they would like to have the advantage of getting there first before that's on TV. But while we have that name, we're working in the background to see what can we learn about that individual and his family, which may turn into reporting for later.
All right, John Miller on that, and I know you'll be able to share more information with us when that's available. We want to turn now to one of the parents at the school, Stephen.
You're listening to continuing coverage of a Connecticut school shooting, elementary school, Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut, where a gunman opened fire today, believed to have killed 27 people, and at least 18 of those victims who were killed were children. We're learning more now about one suspect, apparently, who is dead at the scene, and also another man who was taken into custody, possibly in the woods surrounding that school. Much more information coming in every minute here on CBS and WCCO Radio. Let's go live to CBS News to recap what we know already. The time is 12:31.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Sam Lutzinger. It happened at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. A mass shooting. At least 26 people reported dead, including 18 children. Police say a gunman is dead. A second person is in custody. Emergency calls came pouring in.
Okay, be advised. I'm with the parent here who had the children that were in the classroom during the event. I'm trying to get an account on them now.
WFSB TV reporter Robert Goulston.
We know that the governor is on scene. We know that federal officials are on scene. Newtown Police, State Police. This has turned into a massive investigation. This may be one of the worst shootings in American history inside a school building.
There's a report an entire classroom is unaccounted for. A law enforcement official says the dead shooter is a 20-year-old man who had ties to the school. White House spokesman Jay Carney says President Obama is getting regular updates. CBS News Special Report. I'm Sam Lutzinger.
Esme Murphy here at News Radio 830 WCCO. We here at WCCO Radio are continuing to monitor the developments in Newtown, Connecticut. If you are just joining us, 26 people are dead, at least 18 people, 18 of those are children, 8 are adults. One gunman is dead, another man in custody. It is not clear what role the other individual played. There are reports from CBS News that he was arrested in the woods near the school. There are reports from the Hartford Courant that an entire kindergarten class is unaccounted for. The horror of the shooting, the victims all between the ages apparently of 5 and 10. We do not yet know the motive of the gunman. We do not know exactly who he is. There are reports that he is a man in his 20s from New Jersey. We are awaiting a news conference that is scheduled, that was scheduled actually for 32 minutes ago. It has been delayed until Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy can arrive at the scene. We do know from multiple reports that the adults who were killed at the scene, at least several of them, staffers at the school. We want to go back now to CBS News and the continuing coverage of the massacre at the elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut.
You know, which probably saved some lives, I'm thinking, but I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just going by what my 8-year-old told me.
Well, certainly your 8-year-old told you that Miss Martin, the teacher, as soon as she heard that, knew to lock the door. So I think you're probably right that it may have saved some lives. It certainly was a warning sign to the teachers there to try and protect the other children there. Talk a little bit about the school. What is the elementary school like?
Well, I have to say, a very, very good school. Newtown, unfortunately, we're on the map for something negative, but over many years we've become nationally recognized schools. It's a very good suburb of Danbury, and a lot of people work in New York and in Hartford, and very safe, never really any major issues. And I always felt it was a very, very safe place, and I think that Newtown does all they can do to keep it safe and circumstances come about.
Have you been able to talk to any of the other parents, and what are you hearing about what may have happened?
Well, I'm hearing, this is all hearsay, the fact that this might have been a planned situation, that he walked into one classroom, and if there is, like they say, this many people dead, that it was a kindergarten classroom, which is news to me. My daughter's not in kindergarten, so it's possible that it was a massacre of a kindergarten class. But again, I don't know that for sure. There's a few elementary schools in town, so we're just one part. Newtown is 60 square miles, so we're a pretty large town, but this is just one elementary school in town, so there'll be a lot of kids affected by this.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, we're looking at pictures from just outside the elementary school where your daughter attends, and it's filled with SWAT team, parents, running with kids in their arms, just a chaotic scene. You were there. What was it like?
People running for their kids. I couldn't get there fast enough, but I just wanted to see her face. So, unfortunately, a lot of people weren't able to see their child's face. The police presence was pretty big. We have a steep police barracks, one or two exits away on the highway. So, and I know some police officers actually have children in the school, and they were taking their kids out. So I spoke with a couple of, I saw a state policeman, and I saw a town policeman pulling their children out. So the police was pretty heavy, and I know they're very, very on top of it. So I'm confident in the town. So.
Well, Stephen, thank you for calling in. I'm glad to hear that your daughter is okay. I know that your heart breaks with ours for the victims involved in this mass shooting. A terrible, terrible scene there, and we thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
We want to return now to John Miller, who's been reporting. And
you're listening to WCCO Radio, continuing coverage of a school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. As many as 27 people killed in that elementary school, and 18 of those victims are children. Reports that the gunman, at least one gunman, is dead inside the school, and another man has been taken into custody. What possible connection that other man has is not known. We are standing by, awaiting a news conference live in Newtown, Connecticut, that press conference to include law enforcement officials and the governor of the state of Connecticut. Once that press conference begins, we will air it live here on WCCO.
Was that this incident started in the principal's office with the shooting of the principal, that there was a confrontation there, and what that indicates, when you listen to Steve Del Judas talk, what it indicates is that during the confrontation, as a way to warn the rest of the school, it sounds like somebody tripped the PA system that the principal usually uses to address the school for kind of all school messages. Sound like somebody used that to trip that so people could hear there was trouble unfolding. There was an individual in the school with a gun so that they could start to go into their shelter-in-place lockdown mode, which a lot of teachers did. And we just heard the story of Mrs. Martin and so on. But that is the idea, that this anomaly of hearing an argument and cursing over the loudspeaker system fits in with the very first reports we got, that this started in the principal's office with the shooting of the principal by this individual.
And we want to go now. We just got in some sound from a nurse who was there. Let's listen in.
All I can say is that one of the cops said it's, you know, the worst thing he'd ever seen in his entire career. But it was when they told the parents, all these parents were waiting for their children to come out. They thought that they were, you know, still alive. And there was 20 parents that were just told that their children are dead.
Oh, an incredible witness account there from a nurse who noted the many parents who were told by authorities that their children were killed this morning. I want to go back to Bob Orr. And Bob, I know from your reporting, there's no indication that this is terrorism. Is that right?
That's right. And we have to be very careful here because, like everything else about this story, we're in the early hours and things are unfolding and changing. So we can't say anything definitively, I'm afraid. But let's put it this way. We've talked to a number of federal agencies who are monitoring this very, very closely. And they tell us to this point, preliminarily, they see no nexus to terrorism, nothing to suggest this is part of some kind of broader plot. They can't rule it out because right now, without understanding how this played out and who was involved, we really can't rule anything out. But they're not approaching this as if this were a terror event. It almost, while that's important for the government to understand, it doesn't change the grim facts, and that is whether it's a crime or quote-unquote domestic terror, it's still a terrorist-type event with multiple fatalities and many children, at least 26 dead and 18 children dead. The president has been briefed about this, we're told. We're also told that the president has spoken to FBI Director Robert Mueller, and he's also spoken to the Connecticut governor. So the federal government is in a second position here, but communicating with the state and locals. Nora.
Joe Grosso.
Or, and we're going now to the briefing of local authorities. Let's listen in.
G-R-O-S-S-O. I worked for Governor Malloy. As you can imagine, the governor is horrified by what's happened. He is meeting with the families right now. His chief concern is to get the families the information they need as quickly as possible. That's why he's not here. I'm going to introduce Lieutenant Paul Vance from the State Police, who will talk a little bit about what's known so far. We understand that you are all interested in information. We'd like to get you that information as quickly as possible. But the governor's chief concern is making sure that the families have information as quickly as possible. And that's where he is now. This is Lieutenant Paul Vance from the State Police.
Hi, good afternoon. I will give you some very basic and brief information as we know it now, and we will set up regular press briefings as appropriate. Just after 9:30 this morning, Newtown Police received a 911 call for an emergency at the elementary school. Newtown PD, upon obtaining information as to the statue of the situation, contacted the Connecticut State Police and requested assistance from State Police and surrounding local police departments. On and off-duty troopers responded to the school, and with Newtown Police, immediately upon arrival, entered the school and began a complete active shooter search of the building. That included checking every door, every crack, every crevice, every portion of that school. Our main objective was to evacuate as quickly and efficiently as possible any and all students and faculty in the school. The entire school was searched. That was accomplished. A staging area was set up. The students and staff were put into that staging area. And soon thereafter, the children were and staff were reunited with their parents and their loved ones. There were several fatalities at the scene, both students and staff. There is no information relative to that that is being released at this time until we've made complete and proper notification. The shooter is deceased inside the building. There's a great deal of work that is undertaken immediately upon locating the shooter, and that is there's a great deal of search warrant activity. There's a great deal of law enforcement activity, both in and out of state, to ensure that we cover all the bases relative to that specific individual. Suffice it to say, the scene is secure. State Police Major Crime Squad, Newtown Police Department, Danbury State's Attorney, and many agencies are working together to answer all the questions surrounding exactly what happened. As Mr. Ochoa-Grossio said, we will keep you briefed. We will keep you informed on a regular basis. We'll put everything out via our website and with these press conferences. I'll turn it back over to Mr. Ochoa-Grossio right now.
The governor took a call from President Obama a little while ago, who was calling to express his condolences and condolences on behalf of the nation, and pledged whatever resources the federal government can bring to bear to assist the families and to assist in the investigation. We will get you information as soon as we can get the families the information. That's where the governor is. At some point later today, the governor will be here, and we will set up regular briefings. Thank you.
Are all those briefings going to be here? Again, no questions at this time. I apologize. We will not be able to answer any questions. As I said, the scene is secure. The situation is secure. We will notify you shortly when we will come back for another briefing as quickly as we can.
But you can say that the public is not in danger.
The public is not in danger. That's correct.
Hey, Lieutenant, everything here, right? All the briefings here?
Right here.
How many fatalities are there?
And there you see Newtown authorities and a representative from Governor Malloy's office addressing reporters there about the very latest information. And just to recap, a spokesman for Governor Malloy saying he is horrified and is spending time with the parents of those 18 children who were killed, ages just 5 to 10 years old, from Sandy Hook Elementary School, who were killed execution style this morning by a gunman who authorities say is deceased. We have reported that a second suspect is in custody, but not clear whether that person was involved in all of this. This started at 9:30 this morning, as authorities said that they received a 911 call and were on the scene almost immediately. You heard President Obama has called Governor Malloy of Connecticut and has offered his assistance. The president also informed in talking to the FBI director and other officials. And at the White House briefing today, the president's spokesman, Jay Carney, being asked a number of questions about this and also some political questions in nature about whether the assault weapons ban should be renewed. And the president's spokesman saying that the president is committed to renewal of the assault weapons ban, something that expired several years ago. Want to return now to John Miller, who has been speaking with his sources. And John, just to go over, what are authorities doing at this point? They know that at least the shooter is deceased, but they've got a lot of work still to make to figure out exactly what happened.
Right. So, you know, what we just heard from Paul Vance, who's a longtime public affairs officer for the Connecticut State Police, and that's the agency that has the lead here in terms of the tactical piece that's going on now and the investigation that will follow. And he said, you know, numerous search warrant activities. So what he's talking about is they're going to the residence of the suspected shooter who's dead. They are going to locations associated with his family, and they are looking for those things that are going to give them clues into, did he act alone? How was this planned? Why was it done? Try to put some motive or reason to it, but also find out if there's anything else that they need to know in terms of public safety. He also referred to the shooter. So we know from witnesses that there's this other individual in custody, was taken away in handcuffs. We've been told they were looking at another person. But I think when you hear Paul Vance talk in terms of there was a shooter and he's dead, that we can take that as a signal that this other person may not be emerging as a suspect, that we may be back to the idea that it was a single gunman. And you know, I think our collective experience in these things tells us that for the first couple of hours, it is very hard to have clarity in those things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we take from it. Now, your original question is, so what is the task before them? It's massive. You have a spread out and complex crime scene involving multiple victims. And beyond the victims, you have an awful lot of evidence. That means you're going to have to collect every shell casing. You're going to have to collect every bullet. You're going to have to dig those bullets out of whatever they went through and were lodged in. You're also going to have to document and record the BIMs, or the bullet impact marks, where a bullet hit something and bounced off, because those are going to give you a clue as to the trajectory, as where was the shooter standing when he fired those bullets. So what you have there is Connecticut State Police in the lead, but you have ATF. alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. That's a division of the Department of Justice. They're going to take those guns and trace them. Who bought them? Who was the original owner? What store did they come from? Were they listed as stolen? Were they owned by the same person? Were the magazines purchased separately? Are they the ones that came with the guns? Or were they extended magazines that could carry more rounds that were purchased after the assault weapons ban and so on? You've got the FBI on the scene. They're going to help with their data to do background on these suspects, the suspect and their records. And, of course, Connecticut State Police with the tactical lead. And then, you know, you can't do this without talking about the Newtown PD, because when all of this is over, they are going to be the police department that was first there. Their members are going to have to go through trauma counseling for what they saw initially, and they're going to be the police department that after everybody picks up and goes home, and that may take some time in this case, that has to live and support that community too. So it's large, it's complex, and it's going to be long term.
You know, this is so incredibly senseless, and people who are watching this would say, why would someone do something so horrific at an elementary school, no less? It's very painful for people to hear that and try and wrap their heads.
You are listening to continuing coverage here on WCCO Radio of a school shooting at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut. Connecticut police just talking to reporters, not confirming the numbers of dead, but our sources at CBS News say at least 27 people have been killed in this shooting, including the gunman, and that 18 of those victims who were killed our children. We will be staying with this story throughout the hour, throughout the afternoon here on WCCO Radio. Right now, we go live to CBS News for a special report. It's 12:50.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor. At least 26 are dead, a mass shooting at a Connecticut elementary school.
There were several fatalities at the scene, both students and staff. There is no information relative to that. It is being released at this time.
State Police Lieutenant Paul Vance.
The shooter is deceased inside the building.
18 of the dead are children.
The teacher pulled me into her classroom.
So you heard sounds?
Yes.
What did it sound like to you?
It sounded like someone was kicking a door.
So many unanswered questions right now. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
Why this school? Why this day? Why was this place targeted? I mean, what was the motive? What was the reason? And then obviously the other questions, which are frightening to bring up, does it connect to something else? I mean, I haven't been told that it connects to anything larger, but certainly with these kinds of numbers, with this kind of killing field, you have to say, do we know everything we need to know about what prompted this, about how it was carried about who did it, about who else he associated with?
As we hear from CBS's John Miller.
They have an individual in custody who they're talking to, and I am told they are looking at this person as possibly a second shooter.
This parent got to the school as soon as he heard about it.
My son was in the gym when it happened, so I think that he heard the gunshots, and so they're both, I think it's going to be one of those things where they're trying to understand what happened. When we tell them ultimately what happened in details, I think it's going to make it much worse.
26 dead at the Sandy Hook Elementary School, Newtown, Connecticut. CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor.
This is WCCO Radio continuing coverage. Esme Murphy, Adam Carter here. We're also, you know, relying heavily on CBS News as we continue to follow developments in Newtown, Connecticut. And Esme, what can be just described as an unimaginable tragedy out there today.
The shock, the horror of an entire nation focused on Newtown, Connecticut, a small community. It's about 65 miles northeast of New York City. It's a place where a lot of people commute either to Danbury, to other larger cities, maybe Hartford, New Haven, also to New York City as well. It's a bedroom community. It's something that, it's a community that I'm actually familiar with because I have family in that area. An absolutely lovely community. It's a place that people go to for the quality of the school districts. We do know that 18 children are apparently dead. We know that an entire kindergarten classroom, according to the Hartford Courant, unaccounted for. The thought of a gunman going into a kindergarten classroom and taking out an entire class, which apparently is what may have happened here, just so horrifying. We also know that there are 8 adults that are dead. There are reports from multiple news outlets that the principal is among those dead, and that the initial confrontation actually happened in the principal's office. Coming up in our 1 o'clock hour, we are going to talk with the former head of the Minnesota School Administrators Association about school school security. It does appear, Adam, that this school, according to their website, had recently implemented a security policy that involved locking the doors after 9:30, requiring people to report to the office. But when you read the policy that is posted on their website, and it's a policy that's similar to many schools that I go into and that you probably go into as a reporter here in Minnesota, you have to think, all right, report to the office, sign in, show ID, which this requires. It says that parents will be asked for identification, all reasonable safety precautions. You also wonder, well, if somebody has a weapon, if they are intent on doing this kind of devastating destruction, what can be done?
Right.
And so obviously it's not clear if this security warning that is on their website, if this was something fairly recent. It almost does appear that there was some kind of warning. Obviously, this is something that people will be looking at. There are also reports, Adam, that there is another individual in custody. It is not clear if this person was just taken in as part of a sweep. Apparently, he was arrested in the woods wearing camouflage pants. Obviously, every precaution going to be taken. And the reports are that the initial report was that the gunman who was dead was a man in his 20s from New Jersey. Not clear if he had some connection to a school, but this is someplace you don't just kind of happen on.
No.
It's not on a major interstate. So you almost have to think that there must have been some kind of connection there.
I've seen an AP report saying that this was a 20-year-old man with ties to the school and that he used a 223 rifle. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but that's presumably it would be like a 22 caliber rifle. But you mentioned the school security and how tight it is. Obviously, you know, school security is nothing new. We've been talking about it for years, obviously, since Columbine really forced this into the forefront. But if he has ties to the school and if he's hiding that weapon at all, it'd be certainly not beyond the realm of possibility that he would get access to that school.
The president has been briefed. The president, we're hearing reports from CBS News via the White House that the president will likely make some sort of statement today. The president apparently has already been asked if he feels that he will continue to support the renewal of a automatic weapons ban, and the president already being quoted as saying he does feel that should be once again put into place. Obviously, the tragedy here, we are focusing on the human aspects of this, but clearly in the coming days, as we look at what happened here, there will no doubt be renewed discussions and debate about the roles of automatic weapons in our society and the access to weapons. And that is a debate that has continued for quite some time. Obviously, this tragedy is something that we will continue to follow here at News Radio 830 and WCCO and CBS News throughout the afternoon as developments continue to pour in. But the scope of this tragedy, so terribly, desperately shocking, and what is so horrifying here is the age of these victims. Adam, the victims are ages 5 to 10 years old.
Yeah, and we had reports that this might be concentrated to one kindergarten classroom and that we have a kindergarten classroom that's unaccounted for. So that is pretty tough to take.
Right. Setting it apart from the school shootings that we've had here in Minnesota historically, at Ricori High School in 2003, at Red Lake in 2005, both of those committed by students. Also, you go back to Virginia Tech, a student, Ricori, a student. This was an adult who came in, and that adds to the magnitude and I think the horror of the situation. Esme Murphy, along with Adam Carter and the entire news staff here on News Radio 830 WCCO, keep it here. We have all the resources of News Radio 830 and CBS News following this massacre.
WCCO and WCCO HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul.